So anyways, she's drunk with the blood of saints, the blood of the martyrs, Jesus. He wonders at her. And so why did you marvel? Well, it's sort of condescending. I thought, you should understand. Well, John is marveling a bit at it. He's wondering at it. And the angel says, look, I'll tell you the mystery and of the beast, of her, what it symbolizes. Because, I mean, it looks at this, and it's a weird image. He sees the woman riding the beast, this woman. She's drunken with the blood. He just looks at her, and he knows that. She's drunken with the blood of saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. But he doesn't understand what it all means. The angel explains. The beast was. And this, like all things, a lot of times, you know, I think it's funny because Christ explains parables, right? But people still don't understand them. And it fascinates me. You know, listen to my study on Matthew and you'll understand what I mean. Matthew 13 or any of that stuff. Christ explains parables, yet people still don't get it. And I was the same way until he revealed it to me. And he revealed all these things to us in his time. But the beast was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. To me, that's the most significant there, because that just helps me understand and connect the beast here to the beast, to the, to the beast that rises, you know, out of the angel of the bottomless pit comes down with a key and unlocks something. And this is what comes out. This beast. It goes into perdition. For that day shall not come till that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. And now, of course, that's the same word, perdition, destruction, apollyon. And what's the name of the angel of the bottomless pit? Apollyon. It's a derivative of the same word. The scripture uses that language to help us pinpoint what we should be thinking. I said the identity of Antichrist, I mean, from my teaching, it becomes obvious what I think, because I just slip back into it all the time. Yes, I expect supernatural, angelic type Antichrist. But having that pinned down, or whether it's a mortal man who does these things, the thing is, he's going to be doing miracles. He's going to be very convincing. And he's going to lead numerous people who had called themselves Christians astray. They'll still call themselves Christians, just as they do now, even though they're in a minor apostasy. And from, you know, you understand that from the world's perspective, I get letters like this. They say, you say one thing, they say that, you know, I can't tell who's right. It's true. How can they tell the difference? If God doesn't reveal it to them, how can they tell the difference? How can they say, well, that Paul Strangini guy, he's right. How are you supposed to know unless that God opens your ears? And my perspective is that it seems so simple, but I remember I listened to other guys, I have listened, I remember he would say, oh, it's so simple. Even a child could understand it. Now I look at it and I thought, like, are you kidding? What child would come up with that stuff? But the thing is, you have to follow the light that God gives you, because that's the only light you have. So, you know, I go until he gives me greater light. I got to go with what has been revealed to me thus far and pray for more. So, all that dwell on the earth shall wonder. You wondered, the whole world's going to wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Yes, predestination is a fact. Listen to my study on Ephesians or on many of the other books, Romans, the chapters on predestination. We receive grace by God. You know, our salvation is sealed in God before the foundation. Before the world was made, God already knew what he was doing. The plan, it was already set. And that should be very comforting. What sometimes drives people nuts is that they don't know what the end is. And so the whole world unfolds to us as a series of free will choices and things like that. But from God's perspective, there is no such thing. It is all according to his plan. He's raising us up. When God does things and creates systems of such complexity, and yet he knows the end from the beginning, you know, it's difficult for us to comprehend like that, or to accept it, or even to understand why that is. But he does it for his own reasons. And the stated reason of the scripture is to bring many sons to glory. He wants to raise up sons. And this is how he decided to do it. We want to become the sons of God. That's what the promise is. The exceeding great and precious promises are, hey, you want to partake of the divine nature? What was the first thing the serpent said in the garden? You can't eat of that. Oh, God doesn't want you to eat of that tree. Because he knows in the day you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil. But what God had warned is you shall die. And God knows good and evil, and it's a God-like power. But in our hands, it wrought death.
Because man did not possess the divine nature, but a carnal nature.
And God, through Christ, wrought redemption. And through all of that, he brings about sonship to those who he has marked out for that. For those who are written in this book of who's going to be alive when it's all said and done. That's what the book of life is. It's who's going to be alive at the end.
But their names are written in heaven from before the foundations of the world. Everything is set.
It's impossible for man to know whose name written there, but I'll tell you what, it's better to, you should believe your name is there and pursue it. Because God has said that these things are by faith, and therefore if you can have faith, then by all means do so. There's no benefit in unbelief. You're not going to be like, well, you know, I didn't think I was saved, and golly, I was right. I guess I feel good about being right. There's no prize for, you know, I mean, it's like for outsmarting yourself right into death. There's no, what's the, you know, I guess for some people, the pride of calling things ahead of time. I see it in kids all the time. Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Oh, I know what we're going to do. You know, there's a certain sort of pride that man has in calling it before they can possibly know. But it's foolish. All the world is going to wonder when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Okay, what about that, Paul? He was, is not. Well, there appeared in heaven a great wonder, a dragon. You know, there is more to him than is totally revealed. Now, you know, we talked about his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. You know, at some point, obviously, there was in the past a time when the devil, yes, rebelled. If Satan rebelled, and from Ezekiel 28, I mean, I do believe that does refer. Yes, I know it says the king of Tyre, but through him, it refers to Satan and the serpent, the husband in Eden.